Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, buckling up in the driver's seat, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom is always ready for our program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. Tom, the National Weather Service, in their commentary, which I take a look at every day, it's called Discussion, Forecast Discussion. They said there is a chance that we might hit 100 degrees, and apparently to get that, to make it official, it has to stay for 5 minutes at 100 degrees, something I had never heard before, but that's what the forecaster said, and they said it could happen, and if it does, it will be very brief. It might just make the five-minute window. So
to paraphrase Bob Dylan, we're knock, knock, knocking on 100's door.
I kind of hope it doesn't happen because
it happened in Phoenix yesterday.
Did it really?
That was their first 100-degree day.
The forecast is now then back into the lower 90s, so I like to put off 100 as long as possible. Thursday, today, May 6, 2021. Thank you, Buckmaster friends on Facebook. So many of you wishing Ann and I a wonderful happy anniversary yesterday. We had a lot of folks sending well wishes, and I send a greeting to all of you. Thank you very much for taking the time to like or, in many cases, make a comment. We appreciate it very much. We're in our 11th year here on the radio. Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on our website, buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Steve Christie is with me, Pima County Supervisor, Republican, representing Supervisorial District Number 4. Mr. Christie is the only Republican on the Board of Supervisors, and there are no Republicans on the City Council, so he'll be the lone lone voice when the city and county actually get together for a joint meeting. Supervisor, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks for having me back.
So there will be this joint meeting?
Yeah, we had what was actually dubbed an historic joint meeting. I guess it was last month, and it was obviously between the City of Tucson, City Council, the Pima County Board of Supervisors. And
all virtual?
Zoom,
or?
Zoom and virtual.
Uh-huh.
And it was an interesting exchange we had, and it clearly laid out the philosophies and ideologies of my colleagues, not only on the board, but on the City Council. And I think it's an excellent way for the community to be able to have this showcase of their ideology and their philosophies so they can see exactly what the elected officials that run Pima County and the elected officials that run the City of Tucson believe in and their priorities.
As more and more of us are getting vaccinated, I know you had your first shot and now your second shot is scheduled. Are we a couple of weeks away from the board being back in person?
No, I don't see anything in the foreseeable future that conveys that deadline. I did hear at one point, I believe it was expressed by the county administrator that we would go back in person not until December.
You said September?
December.
December. Whoa. So the whole summer and, well, basically the rest of this year.
Rest of this year. Yeah. That's what I've heard now. That could change.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there was some question posed to Mr. Huckleberry, and he referred that to the health department and then came back and said it looks like December.
We are getting vaccinated here, and I think just before the program, you received an email, an update on Green Valley, which is part of your district, District Number 4. How are they doing in GV?
They're doing a terrific job. They have their zip codes have the highest vax rates in Pima County.
Oh.
And it's just been a terrific team effort by the Green Valley Fire Department, UCHC,
mm-hmm.
and the Green Valley Council, plus my District 4 representative that is officing in Green Valley. He was part of the task force. They did a terrific job of community leadership and involvement and organization, and they've been able to get a lot of vaccinations completed, and it's really, I think, given a real sense of security and relief to a very vulnerable community. As we know, the folks, I think the average age of the Green Valley area is either 72 or 74. So I'm very proud of the Green Valley team that was put together, as I mentioned them, and they really reacted in a very formidable way to make sure that that community was vaccinated.
How about your own personal experience? Did you find the shot pretty tame, or did you have any kind of side effect?
Well, I think the worst things were the comments of the people that were watching me get vaccinated. They were making comments to the effect of, this time we really get to stick it to the supervisor. And then they were saying,
oh, yeah,
everybody yeah. stand back, because when that needle goes in, there's going to be an explosion of hot air.
And oh, yeah. And they also pulled out a dummy needle that was like 3 feet tall.
But all in all, I was very impressed with the pod that they have out at the Vail Middle School. It was so efficiently run and so professionally run. I did feel for a couple of days kind of spacey, kind of weird and not on kilter. And mm-hmm. I soon recovered, and I'm looking forward to getting my second vaccine.
Yeah, well,
and then I should be free, right, to do anything.
Well, that's my next question.
My face mask.
Yeah. So what do you?
No social distancing.
What's going on with all that? Are we going to just keep the face mask through the? Well, I don't know, until the end of the year.
Well, for the last three board meetings, except this past one on Tuesday, but the three prior to that, I made the motion three times at three different board meetings to lift and remove and rescind the face mask mandate that Pima County put into effect. And on each occasion, my motion to do so died for a lack of second. So clearly the will of the board, as well as the county administrator and the Pima County Health Department, in my estimation, is to keep the face mask mandate in place as long as they possibly can, only seconding by the fact that the county administrator directed the county attorney to look into giving some kind of a direction about Pima County being able to keep the face mask mandate in effect even after the rescission by the governor becomes law. And that's 90 days after it becomes law is when theoretically the face mask mandate in Pima County is to be lifted. But it appears that the county administrator is looking to extend that even further. So I see a constant practice, and it's been in place for many months now, to move the goalposts back. You know, it was social distancing, it was the curfew, it was space allotments for restaurants, all of these things that were mandated to control the spread of COVID, many of which didn't work. The curfew was basically ruled unconstitutional. It's going to cost the county some money on that settlement. But I don't see any desire to speed up the process of removing the face mask mandate by my colleagues on the board, by the Pima County Health Department, or by the county administrator. They're going to find some way. Either the next goalpost moving back will be the variants. The next one after that is not enough children have been vaccinated. I could just see the issues coming up in order to keep the face mask mandate in place. And at some point, they need to realize that the community is fed up with this mask mandate. It's not the effective panacea that they're making it out to be, particularly when everybody's getting vaccinated. I thought that if I follow the rules and wash my hands and kept social distancing and
brushed my teeth, got
vaccinated, that I was home free.
Sure.
But now they're saying, no, even if you're fully vaccinated, you still must wear that face mask. Now, it's at some point the ridiculousness has got to stop.
You are the lone conservative voice in Pima County, and as we mentioned, the city of Tucson. All are Democrats. Do you think sometimes they all just say, well, that's Steve Christie talking again?
I'm sure. I'm sure. But on the other hand, there have been a number of statements by all of my colleagues that warrant some kind of scrutiny in that same manner.
All right, let's pause right here. Steve Christie, it's time to talk about my favorite bakery in town. You know what that bakery
is. I do.
Yes, it's Mona's Danish Bakery. And Tom, of course, our fine engineer producer, came up with the slogan. We like it. It's the Danish Kringle, a light and tasty multi-layer pastry. And that's at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Also, I love the Danish coffee cake, which is kind of the relative of the Kringle. And they are open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Find out what all the excitement's about. They've had a great re-entry after the COVID pandemic. So many people enjoying now Mona's, walking in, eating in the bakery, or dining outside, or calling ahead. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. You can do it that way through their website. So check it out. Their wide variety of European style breads and pastries. I had a Mona's blueberry muffin yesterday to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Our wedding anniversary breakfast yesterday with a Mona's Danish Bakery blueberry muffin. All right, we'll be right back with Steve Christie in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, District 4, Pima County Supervisor Republican Steve Christie with me. Steve, Vail, Arizona is part of your district. There was this uprising that made the national news about a school board meeting where the board members and the Vail School District literally had to flee for fear of their own safety.
Well, I, you know, I guess that's probably kind of a relative type of an assessment, because according to the folks that were there to have their voices heard, they were not, in their estimation, threatening, or they might have been loud and vociferous and all that. But the school board, I think they made a bad decision to leave. I think the best way to handle something this like this, and this was clearly, in my estimation, mishandled. I wasn't there, so I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions on not being being there. But from what I'm gathering, it's like a teapot, and the flame's on high in the bottom, and the whistle is coming out of the teapot. If that whistle isn't opened up, that it's going to explode. Well, this is what happens. They need the ability to open up that teapot, let the steam out, and get their voices heard, which is really all they wanted to do. And the school board, I think, made a bad error in judgment of leaving and not at least accommodating some sort of a forum that night for either a select few or some sort of an ability for the community that was there. And it doesn't matter if they were parents or members of the Vail School, residents in the Vail School District, or just citizens. They all have the right to be heard, and they should have accommodated that and sat there as long as it takes. Every board meeting prior to going virtual, we had what we call to the audience, and the Board of Supervisors, the members had to sit there for sometimes a couple of hours, while the community members came forward and they could vent and talk about and say the most god-awful things to
sure.
us.
So you're saying let some of them in to try to...
No, let them...
I mean, I don't know if they could have, with the crowd control. I wasn't there like you were, and I've just only read the reports. But you're saying they should have kept that meeting going.
Exactly. And I think that would have let the pressure off. The community would have had an opportunity to express their views to the school board members, and that is the school board's members' job. They work for the community, and they didn't give the community the opportunity to have their feelings, which I feel are justified. That the mask mandate is optional for the school board. The school board has the authority to make the face mask mandate optional. In other words, parents, if you so choose, you can send your kid to school with or without a mask, and it should be left up to the students. They want the community wanted to express that to the school board. The school board has the power to make that happen, and they left.
Speaking of schools, Pima County this week authorized preschool funds for over 1,000 children. You were the lone vote against that funding. Your thoughts?
I think, first of all, that this obviously is an item and a subject that is left to the state legislature. They're the ones that, if they're going to provide this kind of an educational enhancement, it should come from the state. It should be legislated by the state and paid for by the state. That's number one. Number two, for the longest time, many families have been paying for their own daycare, and I don't think you're allowed to call pre-K daycare, but they've been allowing pre-K or paying for pre-K out of their own pockets. Now they're going to be paying for a whole host of other people's pre-K. That's not fair, and we don't know how. I don't see how they're going to be able to staff these classrooms with the pre-K students. Where they're going to get the professionals to monitor it, to handle it, to oversee it. And second of all, it's a lot of money that could have gone to other things, I think, that have more priority, such as fixing that River Road stretch that you're talking about. But
yeah,
as I said before, it's a hugely expensive experiment.
You also voted against the Keno complex. This could include a field house, three ice rinks. You were the lone dissenting vote on that.
Yes, I was, and I have always been opposed to the at least $30 million plus that has been expended at taxpayers' expense for the current complex and the tunnel underneath I-10 and the soccer fields and all that. Particularly, my biggest concern at this point is the expansion of it and the trigger-happy Pima County Department of Health, that if this complex that they're envisioning was constructed today and up and running, it would be closed down. And where would the taxpayers' money be at that point? And part of this big plan that they're touting is they're going to have private enterprise, private money, the private investors put in things like hotels and restaurants and shops. I can just see them looking at Pima County Health Department's so quick to make mandates and to close down businesses. Who's going to want to invest in millions of dollars in that surrounding infrastructure, knowing full well that when that variants creep in to Pima County and there's not enough vaccinations for school children, we're going to have to close down the complex. They're not going to have any interest in investing it, and it's going to leave Pima County taxpayers hanging.
My neighbors are furious up in District 1 about this water situation. The city is talking about this differential water rates.
It's, I think, a very insidious and devious way for a number of things to be accomplished that the city of Tucson has prioritized. One, and first of all, this is a threat of annexation to to unincorporated residents. They're saying, look, we're going to raise your rates, and if you complain, you have a way to get around it. Simply let us annex you. And certainly that's not the way to encourage annexation. Second thing is it's a social justice issue. There's going to be a surplus by these increased rates. Some $5 million has been, I think, proposed. And that money that is coming from these increased rates of the unincorporated residents of Pima County is going to be designed to subsidize City of Tucson folks who are of a less income. And this basically is stating that the quote-unquote, you know, rich, unincorporated residents are now going to pay for the poor City of Tucson residents their water rates. And third of all, it's designed, in addition to the other two items I mentioned, it's designed really to stop growth and development and to inhibit it. And we've got three things that are wrong, they're false. And it's going to result in retaliation by the county. The county has control of the sewer rates. The city raises their rates. The county is going to raise the sewer rates. And that's a win-win situation for everybody, isn't it, Bill?
So you see a retaliation on the horizon concerning water rates.
I see the possibility of retaliation being used if the water rate increases implemented by the City of Tucson. I definitely see that there is a real potential for a water rate war on the sewer and the delivery of the water system and the taxpayers on both ends. Pardon the...
Yeah, and Sharon Bronson actually brought up a good point about this on our program yesterday. This might encourage water company or private water wells to be going into depleting our groundwater up in the unincorporated areas. People would, you know, turn to a cheaper way to get water.
Yeah, and there are a number of private water companies throughout my district, Vail all the way to Green Valley. Mm-hmm. And certainly, if the water rates are of a significant increase, people are going to look for an alternative, and that might have dire effects on the water companies that already exist.
Only a minute or so left, Steve Christie. How is your economic situation in your district?
It's going great. We have more building permits every day being applied for. Of course, Rocking K is just they can't sell them fast enough. The lots are, it's a beautiful community development with all the amenities. It's like watching a town, a whole new town, be generated. And it's really exciting. And there's, you know, tens of thousands of plots being generated. HSL Properties has two or three really fine projects in either a kind of boutique hotels or rental properties. It seems like we're always getting calls to my office about wanting to build and to construct projects in my district that is really, I always say it's the jewel in the crown of Pima County. It's absolutely gorgeous, and you can understand why they want to be out there. And I think it's probably the fastest growing and the most economically viable district in Pima County.
All right, that's District 4, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, Republican representing that district. Steve, good to see you. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you for having me.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues with renowned comet discoverer and former Parade Magazine science editor, Dr. David Levy. He'll be on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back, folks.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Green Things. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio here at KVOI, and I want to talk quickly about Green Things. It is the place to go for all of your beautiful green things. If you need some beautiful roses, things that will survive our very, very warm, very hot Tucson summers, they will point you in the right direction. And one of the hallmarks of a great business is salespeople, sales associates that know what they are talking about. And if you ask them at Green Things, I want some things, beautiful color that will survive the summer, they will point you in the right direction on their 13-acre site of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. Open right now. They're in their 51st year at 3384 East River Road. The website, Green Things AZ, and their sister business is Zocalo Village. Their website, ZocaloVillage.com, all that great handmade furniture, some of those beautiful. Go to the website, see some of those mesquite, hand-carved mesquite dining room tables, some of the artisans working right here in Tucson. All right, joining us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, we go to Vail, Arizona, and the observatory of Dr. David Levy, the Buckmaster contributor on science. He's the former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, he has discovered and co-discovered 23 comets. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Hello there, Bill. It's great to hear you, but I just sat and listened to your wonderful rendition of the ad for Green Things, which lets me start with a joke.
Okay.
I was, this had nothing to do with me, but this was years ago, just before I was born, I think. Einstein was giving a lecture someplace, and before he started his lecture, he started writing things on the blackboard, equations. One of the graduate students in the audience called his attention that he thought that one of his equations had an error in it, and Einstein sort of scratched his head, turned around, and looked at the equation, and he looked back at the student and said, "You may be right. There are a lot of mistakes. After all, I'm no Einstein."
I like it.
I couldn't resist this one.
There you go. What's this about a new comet that is, I guess, barely detectable?
Well, there you come. This one is, if it's the one that I just looked at, the one that I just read about, it's Comet Leonard, which is the name of my father-in-law, Wendy's dad.
Mm.
So I think Wendy would be very happy that there's a comet with her dad's name in it in the sky. Are you very happy, Wendy?
She's very happy,
she
I'm
is.
Sure.
She's no, very happy.
David, I was thinking about Comet Atlas.
Oh, yeah, Comet Atlas. Yeah, that's a different comet.
Okay.
I don't know if Wendy is so happy about that. That is the kind of comet where you see a little brightening in the sky, very, very small, and you have to kind of stand on your head and do a women a prayer before you see it. But I saw that a little while ago, and it was really pretty disappointing. Although it takes a good picture, but visually it just didn't look like much.
How is it going there at the observation area at the Levy household that is known as Jarmac?
Yeah, it's we had a problem a few months ago where the roof almost collapsed.
Oh, boy.
Well, but it didn't. And that's the key. It didn't, and nobody was hurt, and everybody was fine. However, the roof has been destroyed, been taken off, and the new one then put in its place. And tomorrow we're going to get the rolling shutter installed again. And it looks like we'll be able to start moving telescopes back in over the weekend.
Are you reaching for the stars nightly? You're doing observing every night, aren't you?
Yeah, I go out every night. Your friend David here is one kind of one track. And I remember when I was visiting as a teenager, visiting home, because, as an asthmatic, I had to live at the a home for asthmatic children in Denver for over a year.
I did not know that.
Yeah, oh. Well, now you do.
Okay, wow.
Anyway, while I was visiting home, my father was at one point taking a nap, and he happened to wake up in a very awful mood. And he said, "David, all he worries about are his damned stars." My dad had to take that back, I think, after a while. And I think a few years later, he came in one day and he said, "You know, I sure was wrong about that. Because what you did with your stars is that you really turned it into something."
Yeah, you certainly did. And you're still reaching for the stars.
Doing it.
Yeah.
It's my passion.
David, it's time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month. Here you go.
Quote of the month. And going back to my dad, because Dad's favorite book was Coal of Spyglass Mountain, about a guy who begins his life in a very terrible way and ends up discovering Martians, live Martians on Mars. And this quote is from that book, and I'm going to share that with you and your listeners right now. Midnight. With Coal of Spyglass Mountain seated high up on his ladder, his far-seeing blue-gray eye glued to the powerful 500-diameter eyepiece of his telescope. Unnoticeably, the refractor followed the planet in its endless flight. The driving clock purred softly, the only sound on Spyglass Mountain, cold and still and fraught with uncanny tensity. That's the paragraph just preceding his discovery.
Hmm. Very nice.
And Dad kept on talking over and over about how much he loved that book, and then he quoted the end of it always to us. "First to report discovery, Coal of Spyglass Mountain, famous in a night."
Very nice.
And it captured the magic of discovery, Bill, more than almost any other book that I've seen. And so I see why Dad treasured it so much.
And that path of discovery has been really your life lesson, and there you go.
Yes, it has been, and I miss Dad so much.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
David, always a pleasure, and I think we're all set for June, so we'll look forward to the visit with you in June. My best to Wendy. Have a great day. Thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill. You stay well and stay safe.
Thank you very much. Dr. David Levy with us on our monthly visit with Dr. Levy from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, Jarmac Lab Observation Center. All right, Attorney Don Luce is in the house, and we'll be talking about, can your employer mandate that you take the COVID-19 vaccine? That's something that I'm anxious to hear about, and I think a lot of our listeners will be anxious to hear from Don Luce right after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. I'm so excited about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, where the Welcome Mat is now open. They are welcoming out-of-state visitors, and that means that three-hour drive east of Tucson is now very much in play. So much to do, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, hanging out in historic downtown Silver City. You can find out about all the many things to do and the great places to stay by visiting their website, southwestnewmexico.org. I think many people are ready for some kind of a vacation or road trip. I saw something yesterday, some survey saying that 87% of Americans are planning to do some kind of vacation between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Something, whether it's a road trip, maybe a short road trip to Silver City, where that, by the way, the temperature is a very nice 83 degrees, usually about, it's usually about 10 to 15, sometimes even 20 degrees cooler. But people are ready to get away. We are ready for attorney Don Luce in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Mr. Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices here in Tucson, a beautiful office in Tucson, and of course they're up in Phoenix as well. He is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and his other book, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books now in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. And before we get started, let me wish you a happy anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, and very much appreciate your greeting, joining with many of our Facebook friends. I posted a picture from one of our vacations, a picture I still like it. It's taken a couple of years ago in the Bahamas, and I'm very much thankful for friends like you, Don Luce. Thank you very much.
Feelings mutual.
I want to begin with, this is from Bloomberg, and I'll read just the first couple of sentences. Texas nurse Jennifer Briggs plans to go to work on June 7th, like it's any other day. The only difference is that when Jennifer gets to work, she expects to be fired. That day is the deadline that her employer, Houston Medical Hospital, has given its staff to get the COVID-19 vaccine, something that Briggs doesn't want to do. So we come to the conclusion here, and many have on different commentators, that this is a legal issue. So this is where you come in, Don. I wanted some of your thoughts on this. First of all, the general topic of mandating a vaccination.
Right. So I actually asked several people before the interview what they thought their legal rights were. Some worked in the legal field, some didn't. And by and large, most people don't believe that your employer can legally mandate COVID-19 vaccinations.
Even if it's in the healthcare setting, like this at a hospital.
Even if it's in the healthcare setting, and especially on a
broad basis, whether you're dealing with the public or not dealing with the public. But the fact of the matter is, Bill, most employers, and it depends on the circumstances, and we'll talk about that, can mandate that their employees get COVID-19 vaccinations and provide proof.
Hmm.
Now, here's sort of how it breaks down. Let's start with the very broad universe of workers. There are unionized workers, and then there are non-unionized workers. In Arizona, I think it's fair to say that most workers are non-unionized, although that is not true in other parts of the country,
mm-hmm.
especially in the Northeast and the Midwest. There are a lot of unionized workforces in those areas. If you're part of a unionized workforce, then you have the protection of the collective bargaining agreement, which your union and your employer have entered into. Now, if your employer and you're part of a union wants to implement a mandate that you must have a COVID-19 vaccination, it likely will have to deal with your union first.
Right. I was going to say the union would most likely have to sign off on that, correct?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But as I mentioned, in Arizona and a lot of other states in the Southwest, most of the workers do not belong to a union, so they don't have the protection of a collective bargaining agreement. So let's go to the non-unionized workforce. There are two types. There are workers who work at very small places of employment, which is less than 15 workers,
mm-hmm.
and employees who work at places of business that have 15 or more workers. There's a big difference here because if you have less than 15 workers, you are not subject to the requirements of Title VII, which is a federal act, also known as the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and you are not subject to the American with Disabilities Act, also a federal act. So if you have less than 15 workers...
Which many, many small businesses fit into that category in Arizona.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And most of those businesses are non-unionized.
Right.
That means that their employees, unless they have a written employment agreement with their employer, are employees at will, which means that they can be terminated at any time with or without cause. The only caveat is they can't be terminated for an improper reason. But the employer, generally speaking, is not required to provide a reason for the termination.
Hmm.
So with regard to the very small employers, I would say they enjoy more of a safe harbor than the larger employers for imposing these COVID-19 vaccination mandates. If you work for a small employer, you don't belong to a union, and you don't have a written employment contract with your employer that requires cause for termination, I would suggest that you probably could be terminated if your employer required vaccination and you refused. And probably wouldn't matter what the reason for the refusal was.
Hmm.
Now, that's different with regard to larger employers, because if you have 15 or more workers, then the protections afforded by the 1964 Civil Rights Act, Title VII, and the ADA, the Americans with Disability Act, apply. And if you, for instance, hold a sincerely held religious belief that vaccinations are improper, and you express your belief to your employer is probably going to be required to try to find a reasonable accommodation for you. Failure to do that might constitute a violation of Title VII.
Mm.
It might constitute discrimination on the basis of religion, which is prohibited. Similarly, if under the ADA you have a disability that prohibits you from getting vaccinated, then your employer likely will also have to try to find a reasonable accommodation for you that doesn't create an undue hardship on the part of the employer before it would be in a position where it could terminate you. But as we've seen, those two areas of protection are fairly limited. They're limited to workers who have sincerely held religious beliefs, and they're limited to workers who have bona fide disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest to you that most workers, don't fit into either of those categories.
Most workers will not fit into either of those categories.
And what that means is that even larger employers, if they're not part of a collective bargaining agreement, are probably in a position where they can require their workers mm-hmm. to get vaccinated and to provide proof of vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another caveat,
mm-hmm.
and that is any medical information that an employer acquires mm-hmm. from its workers mm-hmm. has to remain confidential.
Mm.
And one would argue that there's protections afforded to information about the vaccinations that a worker has received. And so employers who do require proof of vaccination ought to be very careful to keep those sort of data pieces confidential, or they run the risk of violating another federal statute.
Wow.
Which is HIPAA. So a lot of rules, of rules. Now, are there lawsuits? Yes. The lady about whom you mm-hmm. spoke at the opening, I mm-hmm. believe, is going
yes.
to challenge that legally.
Uh-huh.
Are they going to be successful? Too early to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's fair to say that as a general rule, employers can mandate their workers to get vaccinated against COVID as a general rule. Now, we talked about the various mm-hmm. exceptions. I would also suggest that even though this may be a right that employers have, it may be a right that they don't necessarily want to exercise for several practical reasons. Number one, it's really hard to find good employees.
Mm-hmm.
Especially during this pandemic.
Right.
So if you're an employer and you put out a mandate mm-hmm. that everyone has to get vaccinated and you have workers who don't comply, then you're essentially, you've backed yourself into a corner. Now you have to terminate those workers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're just losing good employees that were so hard to find in the first place.
In an increasingly now tight job market.
Exactly. So what I've been suggesting to people who have asked about this subject is be very careful before you make it a mandate. Rather than make it a mandate, let's look at ways to encourage the workers to get vaccinated voluntarily.
A suggestion with...
Voluntarily. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why don't you pay for them? Pay for the time that it takes them to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you provide incentives? Not only pay for them for the time that they're gone to get vaccinated, but provide another incentive. And I think that employers can go a long way in getting voluntary cooperation from the workers rather than putting out a mandate that's going to back them perhaps into a legal corner.
That sounds like very common sense advice, Don Luce. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill.
Don Luce of the Luce Law Group. And I want to mention Don's very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, both books now in their second printing. Don Luce, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on really a subject that so many have so many questions about. Thank you, Don.
My pleasure.
That'll wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of attorney Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering producing the show, doing a great job as usual, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.